They'll teach you history, yeah. But they'll teach you
what
they'll
what
teach
they
you,
want you to yeah. think.
What they want you to think is,
and none of it has ever been true. Good day to the solid body God people of Africa. I say solidarity. We of the diaspora remember Ma'afa, many nations, one people, one blood, one love, one enemy, one fight. This is Baba Shay, aka the Hood Good Guy, retired Captain Sabaho, aka Melancholy Jones, but I'm on the come up. As promised, I'm here on CP time. I apologize for being late, but I appreciate you guys waiting. We, being Black on Earth, the podcast, and this is a rebroadcast of episode 6, if you remember, it was called I See Black People, featuring comic book writer, creator, producer, and self-proclaimed struggle twerker, Jamila Rouser. Jamila was here last, back in June, and that was actually my very first broadcasted interview. I didn't do such a good job, I will admit. I was very long-winded, I spoke over her. And so for that reason, I remixed this version that I'm about to drop on y'all, and I totally edited out my voice. So it's going to sound like one long monologue from Jamila. Now, I had to do quite a bit of editing magic to make it sound really good. Jamila's interview has been my second most heard, so I'm really proud of that, and I'm really proud of her. I hope people take a second listen and tell your friends, tell your grandmother, tell your cousins and them. Jamila really does let go of a lot of game. I'm serious. If you want to know how to crowdfund, if you want to know how to even manage a project, if you take out your mental pen and take some mental notes, because she really does take you to school. Now, you're not going to hear it. I edited out my voice, but I started off the interview by asking Jamila how she identifies racially. And then I followed that up with asking her who her heroes are. Listen close. She really gives some interesting answers.
Thank you for wanting to interview me for your podcast. I really like the name of your podcast. It's so good. Yes, I identify as Black and Latina.
Okay.
My mom is Puerto Rican and Dominican, and my dad's Black American. My mom isn't necessarily Afro-Latina, though. So some people think, oh, well, you're Black and Latina. Aren't you just Afro-Latina? And I don't know the rules. Don't. But I don't really feel comfortable saying that, because I think that's different from what I feel like I identify as. It's not like I'm straight up Dominican and have African ancestry. It's like a bit of both in a different way. So I kind of just do those two, Black and Latina. My mom doesn't look Afro-Latina, but I never even really asked her, though, but I don't think she identifies as Afro-Latina. She's done ancestry, and so is my father, and the same countries in Africa he has, she has, but she has more European places, because my grandfather, who's Puerto Rican, had a lot of European in him. So, yeah, I kind of just mentally grouped together both of my parents, but I do want to do my own to kind of see what my percentages are. I heard about one called African ancestry, something like that, where they can kind of boil it down to the different like ethnic group, which is something I'd really want to do, because I think that's more important to me. So maybe one of these days I'll save up the coins, feel like it's really important. I know it's not like exact, but we've had our histories like stolen from us. So I think it's kind of as close as we're going to be able to get. Africa's huge, and it's good to kind of at least associate your ancestry with specific areas of it, that you can kind of go further and explore the history of that area. That kind of helps me kind of feel more connected. Because there is this loss that I feel of not being able to go back, you know, past a certain generation about my family. It makes me really angry and sad at the same time. So Any sort of connection I can get, I'll take, basically. My father, growing up, he has always been somebody who's very, like, Afrocentric, making me very aware and educated of my root. And he started to collect African art because he wanted to feel much more of a connection to where he's from. So being surrounded by masks from like Cameroon and work from Benin and just like being average, like that's my everyday kind of thing that surrounds me, it felt good to see that and to know that there's just, you know, there's just so much about myself and my people that I don't know. So those are good reminders for me to kind of keep on exploring. And it's something my dad and my mom have always done. So it was just kind of natural to me in that way. They raised me that way. My friends, too. Like, I have a really amazing group of friends who have passions in all these different areas, but the thing that unites us is our love and our friendship for one another. And it's so strong, and how we can just uplift each other in such a beautiful way that I think for me, it's, I feel like the way in which it's done is very unique to people of color.
That's dope when your friends are your heroes.
We admire each other immensely, and I look up to them so much, and they may look up to me too. I think they've probably said that before, but yeah, it's great to kind of have that sort of network that surrounds me. There's a lot of people that I'm fans of. Somebody that comes to mind really quickly, and I think I've just been kind of pondering on him more recently, is Saul Williams. I really dig Saul Williams. I've heard, like, I saw him perform twice, once in college and once here in Little Haiti in Miami. And what I really like about his work is, and the way he is that he'll, in one sentence, talk about how he really likes Young Thug and, like, his artistry. But then on the other, you know, on the other side, he'll talk about Cobalt and what's going on in Africa, and how he participated in this women's moon ceremony, or which is kind of weird, is like the Young Thug part is what really drew me to him, because I feel like he's not so high up that he just looks down upon like different forms of art if they don't fit into this depiction of, you know, kind of like pull up your pants kind of mindset. He's just like, no, like I see the beauty in that, and I also see the beauty in, you know, other things as well. And I just learned so much from him whenever he speaks about something. So he's one of them. But I think it's just been tough in recent times too, because so many people come out as problematic that you are like, damn, really? I hope nothing happens with Saul. all the great elders, you know, they kind of, like, without them, like, I don't know who I would be today in so many different ways, like me personally, but me as just a Black woman in America who's trying to be a creative and just trying to live my authentic life, you know? I remember like the first finding out how like Fela Kuti would beat his women. And in his documentary, he talked about it in a way that was just like so matter of fact. And I was like, damn, really? Like, really? I really love Fela. And I still love Fela, but it's just like, I am not somebody who can really separate the art from the artist. It's just a very like, okay, now I understand the man he was, and I decide to continue to be a fan of his work. Or if there's somebody else who, you know, they do something and it's just too much for me to be a fan of their work, then that's it. But it's not really a black and white thing for me. It really depends on the person. And being a rap fan is hard too, because everybody in rap is, being a rap fan is being hard. It's sexist. I have been reading comics for a while now, and I really like Japanese manga, which is just Japanese comics. And they have this genre that I don't think is as popular in the States as it is in Japan, is slice of life, which is kind of just what it sounds like. It's like not any like science fiction or fantasy genre. It's just like regular life with, you know, certain dramas and things that go on in there. I really like slice of life stories and stories that were for adult women. And I didn't find as many of them as I wanted to that were in Western comic. There's definitely a lot of good things happening with like comics made by marginalized folks, but there wasn't as many slice of life stuff that I wanted. And slice of life is a genre that is kind of a moment in normal life, or like somebody's average life. So wash day is a great example, because it's something that we all do, or not we all do, but a lot of women of color do. It's a big part of their lives, but it's just normal. It's like a ritual part of their life. So I really enjoyed those stories, but I wanted to read ones that were by and for Black women, because I wanted to have those kinds of parts of Black culture and things that are a part of many Black women's lives. I wanted to read and see those in comics. So that was what spurred me to start writing comics, was just this desire to read stuff that I didn't see existed yet. When I was thinking about my first comic, I felt like I had to make sure that it was something that I felt really comfortable being. What was like the starting point of my comics career? Like, what, this is like my debut. So what do I think could really define me as a writer? And what do I think is the most important thing that I would want to write and get out first? So just having wash days every week and it taking up hours of my time, I decided to do wash day. I don't really remember a specific moment where I was like, ah, I'll make it wash day. Like, that's the comic. I think it just, I would just always write down different comics ideas. And then when I started to finally come to getting close to writing a script, I picked wash day. And there was just other parts of a story that I wanted to include, or other parts of Black culture that I wanted to include in there. So in addition to just hair, I also wanted to include things that Black women experience every day or almost every day, like street harassment. I wanted to talk about the gentrification that's happening in a lot of our communities. And so that's kind of how Wash Day started. I wanted to do something that was really selfishly just for Black women, and other people could read it, but I really wanted to just make it for, by and for us. It's really like a FUBU comic. So I, because I'm just a fan of comics and I follow a lot of indie creators and cartoonists, I have like this long running list of like artists that I would love to work with. So I already knew that I needed an artist and I wanted an editor. I think everybody should have an editor. I know I definitely knew I wanted one, especially being my first comic, but I think I'll always have an editor. And I wanted my team to be women of color only. So that just kind of narrowed down my list of people who I really admired in the space, people whose work I really liked. So I already knew the editor, J.A. Michaeline. I'd followed her and we're friends. And I really admire her work and her writing. That's how I reached out to her to become my editor. And then as far as the artist goes, it was funny because I didn't know Robin Smith, who's the artist. I didn't know her previously. I saw somebody retweet her work that she had done, and I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is, I love her style, her artwork, and draws hair really well, which is kind of a big part of Wash Day. So right. I bought her comic that she had written called The Saddest Angriest Black Girl in Town, and it was really, really good. She went to a school, an art school in Vermont. It was about her kind of being one of the few Black people in that town and the sort of depression and anxiety she experienced there. And I really related to it. And I just became a huge fan and reached out to her when the script was ready and asked if she wanted, if I could hire her to be the artist. And she was super excited and super down. So it's been really great. And then there are two other collaborators too that I have, because through the Kickstarter, I was able to get Wash Day translated into Spanish. So Joamette Gill is the Spanish translator, and she's this amazing Afro-Cuban comics publisher and cartoonist and editor who I've admired in the space. And she puts out a lot of queer people of color anthologies and comics and stuff. So I was really excited to be able to work with her. And then Desiree Rodriguez is another comics editor, and she's the one who edited the Spanish translation. So I have an amazing, amazing team of women who I admire. And it's really just like me kind of living in the space in the comics community for a while and just knowing, you know, kind of going to the people who I've always liked and whose work I've always admired and reaching out to them to see if they were down. Of course, the biggest thing too, as a writer, that I would need is money. So thankfully, my 9-to-5 job pays well enough that I can support comics projects like this. But being a writer is tough because paying artists is really expensive, as it should be, because their work is valuable. So I always want to pay them their rate. And but it's hard to kind of pay for a writer and then pay for an editor, pay for printing and all those things. So that's when I decided to do a Kickstarter because I really wanted to be able to print wash day and have it in more hands and other sort of merchandise. So the Kickstarter was what allowed me to be able to print the comic and also get it translated into Spanish. Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's definitely a lot of work, but I'm really proud and happy of the team that I have behind me. One of my goals with Wash Day 2 is that it will reach people who have never read comics before, and it'll reach like Black women who have never read comics before, because I really want to show that there are comics out there for everybody. Comics are for everybody, and anybody can make them. So, like, whether you are a writer or just an artist or you want to be a colorist or a letterer or an editor, like there are so many jobs that you can do if you want to help, put comics out there in the world. Because I think the more of us making comics, the better the world is. Comics is still very, as far as mainstream goes, a white man's club. And I just really wanted to try to disrupt that. And I felt like with the story Wash Day, it's something that a lot of Black women can identify with. So I hoped it will kind of cross over those comics barriers that people think like, oh, it's just superheroes. Oh, it's just like, the Marvel DC stuff, and know that no, comics is more than that, and it can be more than that. And maybe it'll inspire other people to read more and create their own. The two main characters are Kim and Cookie. They're best friends and they live together in the Bronx. So most Kim and Cookie aren't specifically like one person, like people in my life, but they're bits and pieces of personalities of my friends. Basically, yeah, there's not one person that's like, yeah, this person inspired Kim. It was really just like pieces of personalities that I put together to make those characters. One of the other characters, I guess I can say, is the Bronx too, and that was very specific to my experience living there and really what's going on there. As far as gentrification goes, I love the Bronx and I wanted to make my first comic take place there and it just be really highlighted, because as far as boroughs go, it's always Brooklyn. You always hear about Brooklyn, then maybe Harlem, Manhattan and stuff, but like the Bronx is, I feel like there's just so much beauty there and I love it. It's my hometown. I'm a military brat, so I've lived everywhere, but the Bronx is what I can call home. So I definitely wanted to create a story that was about the Bronx too. My first idea was for it to just be a self-contained story, but I kind of have this idea in the back of my head to do a Wash Day Junior about possibly the characters in the future where they have kids and they're doing their little girl's hair, because I know there's just really memorable moments that a lot of Black girls have with getting their hair done when they were younger, and I'd love to kind of do a Wash Day for kids so kids can kind of have a comic for themselves that's kind of made for them and where they can feel more confident about their hair and see, little pieces of stuff that they can relate to. I thought Kickstarter would be successful. Like I thought I would make my goal, or else I wouldn't have did it. The original goal was $5,000. I just wanted to print 300 comics, art prints, and stickers. That was my like, this is all that I really want to happen, but more would be great. I thought because it was the niche of it being just like a comic that's really for Black women was what was going to kind of not help it succeed, but it ended up being the very reason why it did. And I got a lot of press from like big places that don't really talk about comics, like Essence and Ebony. Yeah, and so, and a lot of the press that I got, like I definitely did a lot of work in just doing like reaching out to so many different websites and influencers and stuff. But some of the bigger press kind of pieces that I got were through friends. So like a friend would reach out on my behalf to somebody that they knew that worked at Essence and got me that feature. And then I had a friend that worked at Ebony who pitched a story to write about Wash Day and got it. And That's why Wash Days was featured on Ebony. So, like I would say, about 60% of it was through networking, like through people that I knew. And then my boyfriend also, he reached out to his friends a lot and got me some great
Shout out
press
to
there,
boyfriend.
right? Like he had a whole email list going. Like he's really great. Jamar's really great. Yeah, I would say 60% is through people I knew, and the rest was just me doing the work and reaching out to people that I hoped would be interested. But I was super surprised. I have to give a lot of the credit to Robin and her beautiful art, because I'm like, if nothing else, this comic's going to be really beautiful. And her art is just so gorgeous. I think she just did such a wonderful job, especially being able to illustrate hair texture, which is something that isn't done well in comics a lot,
At
because
all in
it's not
anything.
black people who
Yeah.
are doing a lot of, the black hair. So Robin's awesome. She's a Jamaican artist. She started living in America in her teens. But yeah, she's super talented. Oh, it's so
Yeah.
good. I'm a fan of a lot of artists, but I was really looking for somebody whose style I felt suited the story, and hers did perfectly. You really need to have the work ethic to be able to do the work that needs to be done. You have to really be determined to put your work out and be able to make the time to do what you need to do to get the work done. I think determined can kind of include passion within that. I would definitely say I'm determined. I was determined to get this story out, and I wanted it to exist for myself and for others, for other Black women. The interesting part is really just kind of battling myself. Like I have anxiety, and a lot of the times when I was working on this script, I would stop for weeks or months because I felt like I wasn't good. Who do I think I was? Like writing a comic. Like I didn't deserve to write one. I wasn't going to be good enough. Nobody would like it. Like, so I was really had to just kind of get over my self-esteem issues when it comes to like my work, and just kind of put it out and kind of fight with myself, and have the courage to like get over all those negative things that I would think and just try to put it out and hope that people like it. So it was most of it was myself. For me, well, with Wash Day in particular, what helped me was just doing the work and realizing it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. Like when I would have rounds of edits to do, that was when a lot of my anxiety would come, because I would stall on doing the edits because I didn't think I could make it better. And I didn't even try, you know what I mean? I think it's just really trying is the biggest thing, because once I tried it, I realized, hey, I got this. This isn't as bad as I thought, and I think I'm making it better. So I just always had to just try. And that was also with like putting out my comic. Like, I have no idea if people are gonna like it. I have no idea if I'm good enough, but I haven't tried before, so I should give it a shot. Like, I'm like, if all these mediocre white men got these big deals with Marvel, I can do something,
Damn right.
right? So I'm like, if they got the
Yeah.
courage and the nerve, I need to find some within myself to do it, because I think it's really important for stories that are made by and for Black women to be out there. It's what I wanted to read, and I knew I wasn't the only one. So I really hope it inspires others, because I love comics, and I just want to read more that are kind of made for people like me. I'm actually working on another comic. I have tons of comic ideas, actually, so I think this is just like my life now. So, which is exciting. But I have another one that will come out this year, probably in a few
Oh,
months,
wow.
called Wobblety 3000. It is about LaToya going to the club with her two friends and learning that twerking ain't that easy, basically. Kind of like the blurb of it. I like to describe it as Insecure meets the Fifth Element, because it takes place
Okay.
on an alternate Earth. So there are aliens, and there are people, like cyborgs, like people with cybernetic enhancements and mixed
Oh, wow.
species folks. So the look of it is very Fifth Element, but the sort of storyline is something I feel like you'd see in Insecure. It's just like something that a lot of Black folks or Black women have been through at the club, twerking to a song and their thighs start to burn and they're like, oh my God, I don't know if I can finish. So Back That Ass Up actually inspired that, the comic. Yeah, the song.
All right, so shout out to Juvenile.
Right? So that's the next one coming up. But I do have other stories that I want to tell that are kind of really random. Like, they're not, I think they all focus on like Black people or like Black experiences, but it kind of crosses the gamut, sort of just like, you know, Wobble Dee is about twerking and Wash Day is about hair. Like, it's just all these little things, but I think a lot of people can relate to them in a big way. My passion is identifying these moments that are sort of universal and making a story about them. Like, one example of like what I really liked as a slice of life was, I'm not sure if you watch Atlanta.
Yeah, I love Atlanta.
The season, the barbershop episode. My boyfriend was like, this is, I relate to this heavy. He's like, I'm getting bad flashbacks.
Let me tell you something. I don't get my hair cut for that reason.
Oh my God.
Because barbers act like that.
Right?
That's the reason why, like, and I don't really like to, I had locks for when I was a young man for about a good 20 years. And I got into this place, I want to get rid of them. And before that, I used to cut my own hair. Just to show you how what an aversion I have to barbers. Man, I must have went through 5 or 6 barbers before I just gave up again.
That's crazy.
Because that.
Love those moments. Yeah. Like, of course, I've never been to the barber, so I don't relate. But just to see somebody who does relate, watch that, and kind of like, it's this like sort of seeing yourself in the work in a way that you don't always see is what I love. That was such a good episode. Man, that was such a crazy episode. Those nuances that I really look at with like admiration. Even just seeing the way my friends, like whenever I'm with all my friends together and they're all talking, it's just like, even seeing the way we talk to each other and how we talk and how we express ourselves, it's just so much beauty in the little things. Half of it was a learning curve. I tried to do a lot of research in advance of like writing a script and just kind of the different ways that the different elements of making a comic. But there is definitely a lot of stuff that I just didn't know. And I wouldn't have known until I started to do it, you know? I think the most important thing for me was writing a script that was good and was helpful for the artist in a format that was helpful, because I want to make it as easy as possible and make sure sort of my ideas are like translated well, but also give the artist the freedom to be an artist. And if there are things that they think would be better, to change it. Like, it's like, I wanted my script to be, you know, either they could just go by the book and do it exactly that way, or they can use it as a sort of guide and kind of change things as they thought would be better, because I picked them as artists because I trust them and I want them to kind of flex, you know, on the page. So that's kind of what Robin did too. She definitely helped elevate my scripts and made edits to certain panels and the way things were laid out in a way that I thought was really good. So I think it was really, there's a lot of stuff that you can learn in advance, but it's also just being open to change when it comes and just being flexible to stuff. My editor helped me a lot too, for sure, with like how to write a script for comics and with pacing and things like that. She helped me a lot. And even with my second script, she was the same editor, J.A. Michaelin. I've learned a lot. I've learned the most through my edits and with her as a writer. So yeah, it's been really great. It's been a really great experience. I'll call myself a writer first. I used to have a blog for about 6 years called Girl Gone Geek, and that's kind of how I got into the sort of geek comics community. And I've done panels and stuff before at comic conventions, so I've kind of been in the world. But I don't know how I really describe my style yet. Wash Day isn't necessarily funny, but Wobble Dee is, so I don't know yet about sort of that sort of style. But what I do like to do and incorporate is this sort of high brow meets low brow. Like, I really love artists and creators who, I think music is the easiest way for me to give examples. Like, Frank Ocean, I think, is a good example where he could have a beautiful song and the lyrics sound like poetry, but what he's talking about is something that's very, what some people would consider lowbrow or just like regular fucking life or like regular experiences. I really like things that are accessible, but still there's a high quality of art to it. So that's what I try to kind of emulate in my writing.
We're going to pause just for a bit to pick up some pennies, collect some copper. When we come back, Jamila discusses her natural hair journey, and we wrap this thing up. Stay locked. When I'm not hosting a podcast as your fam and friendly neighborhood good guy, I'm a freelance illustrator and graphic designer. In the field since 2013, I've worked for small businesses and multi-million dollar companies. I like to work closely with my clients to produce a quality service. I specialize in logos, layouts, posters, and pamphlets, but I also do t-shirt designs, business cards, websites, and many other multimedia services. Although I have big business clients, I like to focus on small businesses and nonprofits who work with a small budget yet benefit from great design. In addition, I teach multimedia workshops for young people to get them ahead of the game in this technical age. Call 305-209-7894. Ask for Shay. I work local and long distance.
I didn't always have natural hair. I do have a journey. I don't remember when I got my first perm, but I was young. And I had pretty much gotten perms up until throughout high school. And my dad has locks, and he's had them since I was a baby. So I've never really known him without them. And he hated me getting perms. He would always like talk about like, oh, your hair's beautiful, you shouldn't get perms. And I was like, whatever, dad. Because what I saw was just straight hair all the time. Black women having straight hair. Of course, not everybody, but that's kind of the majority of what I would see. So, and it was easier. Like, you know what I mean? It's easier to manage hair that's straight. So I kind of always did that. Every now and then I'd wear my hair natural, but it was very, I could count on like one hand how many times I did that in high school. And it wasn't until college where I sort of just stumbled, like happened to fall into being natural, because I would get my hair done at Dominican Salon when I went to New York for college, and they blew that shit so straight that I didn't need I realized, like, I don't need a perm. My hair is straight with their hot blower. But my hair was still getting super damaged because that heat from the blower is crazy. It's like dragon's breath or whatever. Eventually, I kind of just started to wear my hair in more natural styles in college, more out of just not being able to always get my hair done. And I was like, oh, my hair, like, looks cute this way. And that's kind of how it happens. And then as I did that more and more and just realizing how damaged my hair was from the heat, I just really went to more natural styles and did less heat. Like, I'll still like do a roller set or flat iron my hair, but it's few and far between. Also, living in Florida with this humidity, there's no point. But I think it was when I started to do my hair in more natural ways is when I really started to see more of my natural hair texture when the heat damage was, you know, growing out. And really feeling comfortable in my hair. And I think it's been pretty much this journey of feeling comfortable with my hair and feeling comfortable like navigating through society, navigating through work with natural hair. Like, work was a really tough one because I'm there 5 days a week and I'm surrounded by white people and I don't want anybody touching my hair, or I don't want anybody commenting on my hair, really. Any attention to my hair makes me anxious because I don't know where they're coming from or what situations I'll be in. But my hair has been touched at work by white women, and it was always when it was in a sort of, you know, like when I had braids or when my hair was like naturally curly. So even though I was comfortable wearing my hair now, going to work, I still would feel anxious, like, oh, I hope nobody touches my hair today because I'm wearing it natural. So it's still like a battle for me to kind of get the courage to do it at work, but I do feel comfortable in my day-to-day life with my hair. It's just been, and I think also what's helped is there's been this new sort of natural hair movement that's been going on with a lot of women. And I think just being able to see that more in media, even because of it, has helped me feel more comfortable. I even had a friend who went natural a few years ago, and she cried the first time she saw her hair natural, because she didn't even know what her texture was. Because she's been getting perms since she was a kid. So, like, when she finally cut off all of the permed hair and she saw her natural hair texture, it was a very emotional moment for her. And I'm sure there's so many women who go through that experience as well. Hair care is expensive. Like, weaves are expensive. Going to the salon every week is expensive. So I save money, although I still love buying all these sorts of products. But I don't feel, like, chained to my hair anymore. It is very freeing, and I feel more myself now than I did ever before, because of how I'm comfortable with my hair and I'm comfortable wearing my hair natural. It's an extension of ourselves, and I think it's one of the most contentious parts of Black bodies is our hair. So kind of being able to fully embrace it in a way that is freeing is amazing, and a journey I hope everybody has a chance to go through. Because I'm not anti-perm, I'm not anti-anything. Whatever you feel comfortable in, like, do it. Because I get it. I get that, you know, navigating the world as a Black person, but then with, like, quote-unquote very Black hair is hard. Anything we can do to draw less attention to ourselves, like, I understand it completely. But I do hope that it's more of a decision that people take, where they kind of they know all the different routes, because I still wear my hair straight. I'm not like, wear your wigs, do whatever you want, but I hope that there is more of a decision into that versus feeling forced into it. And I know society has a big part to do with that, so it's tough. So I'm Jamila Rouser on almost anything. So it's Jamila. Last name is Rouser. So I'm Jamila Rouser on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and JamilaRouser.com. And on my website, you can sign up to join my comics newsletter. You can sign up to get notified when Wash Day goes on sale, because it'll go on sale after all the Kickstarter backers have received it in a few weeks. Yeah. I kind of try to keep it simple with that. It's been great chatting with you. Get to making with Jive. When it hits you, yes, 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 you shine. When it hits you, yes, 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 yes. When it hits you, yes, 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 you shine. When it hits you, yes, 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 you.
That was Jamila Rouser, writer, creator, and producer of the comic book Wash Day, and out now, Wobble D. If you go to her website, JamilaRouser.com, I think she's also doing a promo where she's selling Wash Day candles, so you definitely want to go out and get those. Definitely hope to hear from Jamila again, see what else is going on with her. That's another incredible and so Black on Earth interview in the bag. Next week, we are still in the process of finishing up this hair care series that we're working on for you guys. So hopefully we'll have something. If not, I'll still be here. Don't forget, we're doing the new lineup where we have. So this Wednesday is supposed to be market day. So I'm going to try to find a business to feature, actually take a field trip. That'll be followed up by Friday, the Friday free up, where we will dispel another Black myth. Saturday, we will follow up with the review on the Unique Studios comic book Exo and Malika, and hopefully by that time I'll have the Tuskegee Airs comic books in. Then Sunday, I'll have the full feature, hopefully, continuing the series on hair care. We're all we've got, we've all we've ever had. Be good to yourselves, be good to one another.